Well, good morning to everyone again, and welcome to the assembly. It is good to see everyone that's able to be here, and we're so thankful for another Lord's Day. We're thankful to be able to gather, especially in these times. I know there's a lot, I'm sure, that's on everybody's mind, and we'll discuss a little bit of that today and a little bit later as well. I'll admit and I'll confess to you that I've struggled with a great deal of anxiety and worry, even myself. As I've kind of watched things progress and paid attention to things, I've seen many places suggesting and recommending shortened services when people do get together, and I thought, I've got to find out a way to give shorter sermons. And that's a scary prospect for me. But in all seriousness, I do recognize that this is a difficult time. We're in some uncharted waters in many ways. It's not that the world has never faced pandemics or global crises before, but I don't think in any of our lifetimes we've seen something quite like this. And so I understand that probably all of us have a measure of fear, a measure of concern, or even just questions. You know, how do we respond to some of the things that are taking place? And I'll be the first one to tell you I don't have all the answers. I don't know all of the right decisions. I am trying to learn the best I can and study and pray about this, and I encourage all of us to do that very same thing. And for our sermon this morning, I struggled to think, well, what's the best thing to talk about, being as I know this is what's on everyone's mind, is this disease and this pandemic, what the government's doing and how the church will respond. There's so many questions. There's a lot of places that we could probably go and make some good comments, but as I was doing some reading and thinking, I decided to just spend a few minutes at the end of James chapter 5 this morning. So if you'd like to follow along, either on your phones in a Bible or use the pew Bible or Bible you've brought, we're going to look at just the final few verses. We're going to start in James chapter 5 and verse 13. And James, as he concludes his letter, he says there, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." These verses of James have some very practical admonition, as does the whole book of James, and some things that I think during this time frame that we're living in and going through, I hope offer us some help and a little bit of guidance, as do many other passages in scriptures. James, in his book, writes a great deal about holiness, about righteousness, about practical living, but he also talks a bit about suffering. In fact, just prior to these verses that we read, he talks about being patient or enduring suffering. As Christians, there are times when we will suffer because we are Christians. There are times we will be persecuted. There are times we will be looked down on or ridiculed. And as human beings, there are times that we will suffer. Atheists suffer. Atheists get cancer. People of other religions die of heart disease. People that are very wicked die of diseases, as do the righteous. That's part of the fallen world that we live in. There is disease. There is sickness. There is pain. There is suffering. There are many, many forms of suffering, and you and I are going to face suffering. Most of us have already faced suffering to some degree, and if we live very many more days and weeks and years, we will face other forms of suffering. We lose loved ones. We go through physical pain. We have anxiety and worry about all sorts of situations. We suffer for many reasons. And it may seem overly simple, but sometimes overly simple is kind of a good thing. And James gives us a very simple yet powerful response that is quite comprehensive to the suffering that we might face. He asks, "Is anyone among you suffering?" Well, I'm sure that we could answer in this audience this morning, there are many people, I'm sure, that could answer that question, yes. Honestly, in some way, there are many here, I'm sure, that are suffering in some way. And James simply says in response to that, let him pray. One of the things that has taken place over the last few weeks in my mind, and probably your mind, and a lot of people's minds, is a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, a lot of wringing of hands and trying to decide what to do. And we need to use wisdom. We need to come up with answers. We need to help people and guide people. But the first response in times like this that I myself don't turn to enough is to simply go to God and pray. Prayer is an incredible avenue that the Almighty Creator of this universe has given to us. The very one who not only created the germs and the earth that we live in, but even the stars that he took and cast into place in the universe, that very being has said, you can come to me and you can speak to me in prayer. You can let your worries be known. You can offer thanks to me. You can speak to me in prayer, and he has promised he will listen. God has promised an open ear to his faithful children when they come to him in prayer. We could spend all day looking at the various examples in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the life of Jesus, of faithful men and women who were dedicated to prayer. We'll mention one in just a little while that James uses as an example. But we've seen from the very beginning of time almost the power of prayer. And it's something we need to practice. It's something that we need to recognize in our lives when we have problems and worries, that we need to discipline ourselves. Sometimes we have to force ourselves to stop thinking about all the terrible things, or stop a pity party, if that's what it is, or stop trying to figure things out just on our own and spend some time in prayer. Now, we are not told exactly how everything is going to work out. We may not know the exact way God answers our prayers every single time, but we can have great faith and find great confidence in the fact that when we are suffering, when we are worried, we have one who is truly in control, who is ready and is willing to listen to us. And so I encourage all of us. I hope that we have been, and I hope that we will dedicate even more time in the coming days and maybe weeks or months as we face unknown circumstances to spend more time in prayer. Spend some more time privately speaking to God on your own in prayer. Families, spend more time in prayer. Get together more often, not just to say a quick prayer for a meal, but mothers and fathers, we need to pray with our children. Pray as spouses. Pray with other family members. It may be a good time to spend more time in prayer just with other Christians as we have ability and opportunity. But it's a simple answer. Sometimes people may think it's almost too simple. It's almost cliche to say, well, pray about it. And yet that is James' very simple advice. Are you suffering? Then pray. But James asks another question here that's kind of an interesting one, right on the tail end of, is anyone suffering? He says, is anyone cheerful? Now, usually when you say, well, are you suffering or are you sad, you don't follow that question up with, well, what are you happy about? Are you cheerful about something? And yet James seems to think that while there could be a crowd of Christians, many of whom may be suffering, maybe even intensely, he also assumes that there is a reason for joy. There's a reason for cheerfulness. And we'll talk about why in just a moment. But he has an answer to that too. He says, is anyone suffering? Then pray. On the other hand, is anyone cheerful? Well, there's something to do then too. You see, we don't forget God just because times are good. He says, let them sing songs. Let them praise God in song. Let them sing praise. One of the things that will probably happen, I don't have the crystal ball, but what will probably happen is in the next few weeks or months or years, we don't know the time frame, this coronavirus will pass. We've seen this in history. The bubonic plague wiped out a third of Europe, if I remember the numbers correctly, but it passed after a few years. The Spanish influenza of right out a century ago had a high death toll, but ultimately it passed and the world continued on. And this will pass at some point in the future. And the thing is, most people will just go back to life as normal. Most people within a few years will vaguely remember the coronavirus scare of 2020 as life normalizes. And the problem with that is many people will forget the God whom they turn to so desperately in their time of fear and their time of distress. I look forward to the time when we're not worrying about this virus. I pray for that time to come quickly, but I hope that when that time comes, that we remember to give praise to God. Now, we praise God even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of trials and trouble. But we'll have an extra reason to praise God and thank God for all that are able, hopefully every single one of us, to come through unscathed from this time of difficulty. And we should sing praises to God. And we should thank God for his protection, for his love, and his mercy. We should remember at all times, even during suffering, again, this takes some discipline, but we should remember and force ourselves to think of the reasons that we have for joy. Even when we're in pain, whether that be mental or emotional or physical, we should think about all the reasons that we have to also be joyful. And for the Christian, those reasons are many. Even when we are suffering, there is reason to rejoice. Over in Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes some beautiful words. He says in Philippians 4, verse 6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Actually, I want to back up to verse 4 and 5. He says there, first of all, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." We can rejoice even in the midst of a global pandemic because while I am not in control and you're not in control, and truth be told, even the governments and the World Health Organizations are doing their very best, but they're not fully in control. There is one who is in control, and that is God. And we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful and we can take confidence in that. In fact, we can even rejoice in that. That doesn't mean we rejoice at the pain and the suffering that's taking place, but we can rejoice that there is a God. And even though we don't always see his will, we don't always see the end of the matter, God does. And so we can just be faithful. To me, that is a great cause of joy. That helps us alleviate the anxiety and the worry. And again, to help us even further, Paul says in Philippians, just as James did, we can go to God in prayer. Verse 7, Paul says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And then he gives some advice. Finally, in verse 8, Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." That's a verse I need right now to remind myself that sometimes it is a matter of self-discipline to guard our thoughts. There is a lot to be worried about right now. I'm not saying that you have to turn off the news or you have to shut yourselves out and have no idea what's going on. We need to be informed at a time like this. But we also need to recognize when we allow the danger and the difficulty and the stress to crowd into our lives so much that we become anxious or we become doubtful or we become unfaithful. And sometimes we need to force ourselves to say, "I need to stop thinking about this, which really is outside of my control anyway. And I need to think about the good things. I need to think about the lovely things. I need to think about spiritual things." And as I do that, I can find the strength to endure. I can find the strength to help others. I can find the reasons to be thankful. And in fact, when we do that, we will find the reasons to be joyful. We will find, even in the midst of dark days, a reason to see the light and a reason to be cheerful. And when we do that, it's time to sing praise to God. In fact, singing praises to God may help us make it through difficult days. We enjoy the singing and the assembly, but just as with prayer, I would encourage us all to think about singing a few more songs this week. Spend some time, you know, in the car, if you're in the car somewhere, and maybe sing one of your favorite songs. With the family gathered round, say a prayer together and maybe even sing a song of praise. Sing and lift our spirits and remind ourselves of the truth of this existence, that it is to praise God and to serve him, not to be overwhelmed with the fear and anxiety that comes from this world. The next few verses, I just want to make a couple of comments about. I know that they are some difficult verses, but James asks another question. He's asked, "Is anyone among you suffering? Is anyone cheerful?" And then he says, "Is anyone among you sick?" Now, because of what comes next, there is debate about what James is speaking of. Some believe he's speaking about physical sickness. Some believe he is speaking about spiritual sickness. I don't really want to get into which one of those I personally think that is, because whether it's spiritual sickness or whether it's physical sickness, James's admonition is the same. And he says, "Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, there again, at the end, there's a question, is that a physical act of anointing with literal oil? Is that a symbolic act? Without getting into all of those, let's just notice the simple things of this passage. If someone is sick, James says, let him call for the elders of the church. I won't harp on this for long, but I just want to make the point, because we've been discussing leadership here, that James simply assumes that his readers had elders in their churches. He simply assumes that most of his readers have biblically ordained leadership in their churches. Now, if he was writing to today's church, James would have a hard time saying, call for the elders. Whether it's physical sickness, spiritual sickness, whatever, he'd have a hard time saying, call for the elders, because so many of us have no elders. I think this, again, just highlights the importance of finding God's pattern and following God's pattern and working towards godly leadership. But what does he tell the elders to do? Why are the elders called for this sickness? It goes back to what he's already said. Let them pray over him. Prayer is powerful and it is effective. In fact, he says in verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Now, is this a promise that in every single circumstance, every single time that someone is sick, that if we pray just faithfully enough, then people will get better? Is this a promise that when one of our elderly brothers or sisters is 100 years old and they get cancer, that if we just pray faithfully enough, that we are guaranteed they will live? Well, of course not. That's obvious that that's not the case. But on the other hand, James does give us a great deal of boldness and confidence. When we pray for those who are sick, even those who are seriously sick, again, whether you look at that as physical sickness or spiritual sickness, James has great confidence that prayer is effective. That can help us a great deal in this time. As we pray for this disease to pass, as we pray for protection of ourselves, our loved ones, our spiritual family, as we pray for those who have to make difficult decisions, let us pray not with doubt in our hearts, or not with fear, but let us pray with the boldness that we should pray with. Let us pray realizing that who we are speaking to is the God of all creation, and he will hear us, and he will act in accordance with his will. And that's the best way that he can act. And we can take great faith and find great boldness in that. But James then transitions, and he says, and if the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Again, some think because of this that the sickness is spiritual sickness. Some think because of this that the sickness was physical or spiritual sickness. But whatever the case is, he transitions to certainly speaking about someone's spiritual condition. And one of the things that we struggle with, whether it's in the time of a global pandemic or whether it's business as usual, we often struggle with really seeing the bigger picture. We get so narrowed in on today and this life and the here and now that we forget that what is truly important is eternity. There is a bigger plan. There is a bigger purpose than my job, my career, my hobbies, my day-to-day life, and that is serving God. And we are going to live forever. But will we live forever being punished for the way we used our time here? Or will we live forever enjoying the presence of God because we served him and we were faithful here? What is even more important than being healed of physical pains and sufferings and diseases is being healed of the worst disease of all, and that is the disease of sin. Again, Lord willing, in a few weeks or months or maybe a year or two, the disease of coronavirus will basically be past. The pandemic will be over. But there will still be a pandemic that will be ravaging this world as it has for the last several thousand years. And that is the disease of sin. And as sad and tragic as the death toll of this disease is, and it is, I'm not making light of that. What is even sadder is that this very day, from either the coronavirus or other viruses, or other accidents, people are going to die. And they are going to go to their eternal fate unprepared and still in their sins. And that is a true tragedy of epic proportions. And it's especially tragic because they don't have to die that way. because Jesus came and Jesus died on the cross and Jesus offers salvation, and we have the message to tell people that. Let us remember what is truly important. Is protecting life at this time important? Absolutely. I think we should do all that we can to protect life and to save others. But let us also remember that our highest calling is to save the souls of men, to preach the gospel, to be a light in the world of darkness, and to prepare people not to live another day, another month, another year, but to prepare people to live for eternity. Most people will not die from the coronavirus, even if the kill rate ends up at 2, 3, or 4%. Most people in this world will not die from the coronavirus. But every person drawing breath right now will die and will face God as judge. Let us remember that our goal is salvation and work towards that. And let's pray for that. Pray for the gospel. Pray for preachers. Pray for strength to spread the gospel. Pray for those who are lost in sin. Pray that they'll have time. Pray that something will wake them up and help them see their state. And remember again to pray boldly, because James says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. James gives an example of Elijah in verses 17 through 18. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for 3 years and 6 months, and did not rain. He prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. That's a pretty impressive prayer. Now, it's interesting that of all the things Elijah did, of all his powerful things, this is what James focuses on. But it is, and this is a powerful prayer. Imagine praying to God that it doesn't rain, and for 3.5 years it doesn't rain, and then you pray and you ask God to send rain, and God sends the rain. God listened to Elijah, and God answered his prayers. Now, it's also interesting that Elijah prayed for something that was actually would have been considered very bad for the world. And I'm not saying that we pray for bad things to happen to the world, but Elijah was praying that people would wake up to God's hand. We don't know exactly why this virus has popped up, or why other viruses pop up, or why natural disasters always occur. I think sometimes it's just because that's what happens in this world below. But one of the silver linings in times like this is that sometimes it does cause people to wake up. Sometimes it does remind people of the fragility of life. And we need to be there with an encouraging word from the gospel to be able to help others. Instead of just cowering in fear from something like this, we can use this as a time to lovingly serve others, to help others, to show others that there is something greater than just this life. And maybe there can be a blessing come out of these difficulties. But one thing that I want to remind us here of what James says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. We look at Elijah and we think he was a powerful prophet. He called down fire from heaven in his prayer on Mount Carmel. He performed some incredible miracles. But at the end of the day, Elijah was just a man. In fact, he was a man who suffered from some of the very same things that some of us are suffering from right now. He was afraid. In fact, after the event that is told about of his prayer, and after the victory at Mount Carmel, Jezebel hears about it, and she goes about ready to kill Elijah. In fact, she sends him a message, and she says, the gods do to me, and more so if your head remains on your shoulders for very long. And you know what Elijah did? He didn't march down to the gates of the king and say, here I am, see my faithfulness. It says that Elijah ran away afraid. This powerful man of God was afraid. And in the isolation of his fear, he heard God speak again. And he found the strength and the courage to go back. He realized things were not quite as dire as he thought it was. And he went back to work. And I bring that up to say this. We should not give in to fear. The Bible says that we are not given a spirit of fear. The Bible condemns cowardice. But in these last few weeks, I've seen many people that throw those verses around and make people almost feel bad for having any worry and any fear whatsoever. And the truth is, fear is a very natural emotion. Paul was afraid. Paul had to be reminded by Jesus in a vision while he was at Corinth, don't be afraid. I have many people in this city. You keep on preaching the gospel. We see people in the first century church that were afraid. Fear is a natural response. The question is, what will we do in spite of fear? Paul was encouraged, and Paul continued to preach the gospel. Elijah heard the word of the Lord, and Elijah got back to work. Sometimes what we need is not for one another to abuse each other verbally by saying, how dare you be afraid? How weak are you? How faithless are you? But sometimes what we need is to remind one another, this is a scary time. There is reason physically to fear, but remember God is in control. Remember to serve God. Remember to be faithful. Remember to obey Him in all ways that we can. And just keep doing our best to serve the Lord. And I hope that gives us strength. And of course, as we do this, as James has pointed out, we find some of this strength by simply speaking to God in prayer. Well, I hope that those thoughts are helpful. There's much, much more that could be said, but again, what do you say to fully cover a situation like we find ourselves in right now, other than let's continue to do what we can, let's continue to be faithful, put priorities first that are spiritual, and serve the Lord with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and let's continue to pray, and let's continue to praise God, not just at a church building, but every single day of our lives. And as we do that, take hope and confidence in knowing that this world is not our home, and that one day, we won't have to worry about any of this. There is coming a day when never again will we look on the news page and see a pandemic has broken out. Never again will we lose a loved one to cancer, heart disease, or car accidents. Never again will we suffer and need to go to God in prayer because we're suffering. One day, if we're faithful, we will enjoy the eternal presence and blessing of God in a place where sickness, death, and pain will be but former thoughts. Where there will be no more tears, but we will live with God forever in His blessed presence. Remember that. Find strength in that and work towards that future. If there's someone here this morning who knows that their future is not a blessed hope with God, but you are at a guilty distance from God, please change that. Please realize that life is fragile, and even if you don't succumb to this virus, you will succumb to death at some point, and you will face God as your creator and as your judge. Be prepared for that day. If you're not a Christian, become one today. That's the best choice you can make right now. The best choice you can make any day is to follow God. And if you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you're ready to repent of your life of sin and confess Jesus as the Son of God, then be baptized for the remission of your sins, and we'd be happy to help you with that. Or if there's someone here who desires the prayers of the church, then we would encourage you to let us know how we can pray with you and for you. But if there be one of either case, please come while we stand and while we sing.